first upset. It is here. There's 0.4 on the clock, but it doesn't really matter because Duquesne's up by 4, 71-67 over the 6-seeded BYU. And there it is, Matt. It is final. That is upset number one of 2024. Brigham Young University dropping.
What's their mascot?
Brigham Young?
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of lion or something?
Oh, close. Yeah, I mean, yeah, close enough. Cougars.
Cougar, that's Cougars. What it was.
Yeah.
Dude, Zach Wilson, Cougar, how could I forget?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's right there for you.
That up.
Right there for you. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Samford is a 13 seed.
Yeah.
Not Stanford, Samford.
Samford.
Right? Pride of Montreal, Washington.
Of course.
So Samford, 13 seed. Well, one of their players came out yesterday and basically, like, guaranteed a win over Kansas.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, Kansas is banged up. They don't have their leading scorer, but they're still Kansas.
Going to make for some fireworks, I think, tonight. Going to be really interesting. But you're right. No Kevin McCullough Jr. for Kansas. That's going to be an interesting game later.
I actually had Kansas making a deep run until I realized, until Bill Self came out and said he gave it a go, wasn't comfortable with the knee, and they shut him down for the rest of the tournament.
Kansas has a very interesting relationship with the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to Kansas fans, I mean, they're so spoiled, right? Because they're in it every year. They're set to make a deep run, one of the best teams every year with Bill Self. Well, they've had some horrible tournament losses over the years. I think this year could take the cake. They could lose to Samford today. They could lose.
I got sports hate in my heart for several regions and markets. Kansas is one of them.
God, don't you love the tournament? I mean, on just
both. Oh, we got the first crying kid.
Both ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
Both ends of the spectrum. Pure jubilation emotionally or just absolute devastation. That's the beauty of Survive in Advance.
I love seeing the kids cry, man. It's one of my favorite things.
You are so.
It is awesome.
You're just a, you're a merchant of evil.
I mean, come on. You think it really matters that much to the kid, or he just thinks he might get on TV if he sheds a couple of tears?
No, I think it matters. It's the NCAA tournament, Josh.
I don't know. It's BYU. I'm not sure they have their sights set on cutting out
the camera
nuts.
On me?
Yeah, that's exactly.
No, I don't believe that's how it goes.
That's how these kids are these days. They only
that's
care
just
about
you.
The camera.
That's just you. Only cares about
I will
the
cry
camera.
For camera. For
I know.
Sure, 100%.
Not all you'll do for camera.
Hey, that was private between us. I want to talk a little bit about tomorrow for your Buffs.
Mm-hmm.
How fired up is Boulder to see a 2:30 game against Florida and a 5 o'clock game for the ladies against Drake?
Huge day for Colorado.
They've never played in NCAA tournament games on the same day.
Well, I mean, that'd be pretty rare to do that, right? Two big ones. You know, the Drake team that the CU women will play tomorrow in Manhattan, Kansas, they got one really good star on that team, but they're kind of all centered around her.
Okay.
CU women, they tailed off the end of the year.
They sure did.
I mean, they had a really hot start. I mean, they beat defending champion LSU opening week. You know, they had some other really big wins in that first, in that non-conference portion of their schedule. They're set up to make a run. I mean, remember, they returned almost everybody from the team that made the Sweet 16 last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the gauntlet of a regional, though. I mean, they got Iowa with Caitlin Clark. They got LSU, Haley Van Lith, and Angel Reese. Kim Mulkey, she is one of my favorite characters in college basketball. Yeah, not a huge fan of her, but every now and again, you'll come up, you'll be scrolling across the timeline, you'll find a nickname. Somebody throws a nickname. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look for that.
She is literally like Cruella DeVille. She's old school. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Dressed in, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, sort of feathery boa she's turned into a jacket. Whatever alligator she's skinned and made into a jacket,
pulls it off though. Certainly looks good doing so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, big day tomorrow for the Buffaloes.
Got a thing for Kim Mulkey?
Nah,
you just said she looks good doing
I'm kind of indifferent either way. I'm saying she pulls it off, like,
okay,
she's got the flair.
I don't think anybody pulls off the outfit she wears.
What is it on it's flair, right? All the buttons on Jennifer Aniston in the movie. That's what she's got.
What movie?
Office Space.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job. Okay.
All right. I got some Twitter beef going on right now. You into some Twitter beef? It's with our own Mark Schlereth.
Oh, well, then definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Does this mean we get to go slander him online, or is somebody else doing that?
Well, somebody else is doing it.
Okay.
But feel free.
I mean,
it's always open.
That would never.
Not to stink. He's got some issues going on with Jerry Jeudy on Twitter right now.
Again?
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy quote tweeted one of Mark's tweets from back in the day of when...
When did he send this out?
Mark was tweeting about the Browns trading for Jerry Jeudy. This was on March 9th. Jerry's just now getting to that tweet and quote tweets that. It's a video of Mark just giving his opinion on what the trade was and said, only if your opinion mattered. Hating old dude or hating ass dude. Hashtag bag season. Then three money bag emojis. Y'all go give this lame ass dude some attention. That's the first tweet from Jerry Jeudy, to which obviously got Mark's attention. Mark quote tweeted that. It's a quote tweet off here and said, congrats on getting paid, but I believe you spelled it wrong. I think it's hashtag bust season.
Wow.
So he's calling Jerry Jeudy clearly a straight up bust.
And Jerry hasn't responded to that.
Jerry has responded.
Well, then why would you? Come on. Give me everything. Give me all the juicy deets.
Y'all got to stop listening to fake NFL gurus. They didn't even have access to real film. Oh. They are on YouTube.
Well, you are wrong, Jerry. Jerry's about to get buried is what's happening.
Mark replied, by old heads, do you mean guys who won championships?
That's all he said?
Yeah, so far. That's all we got so far.
Nobody watches more coaches film than Mark Schlereth. That was a layup, and he didn't even, I mean, but Jerry is Jerry. I mean, dude, you just got $41 million guaranteed in that new contract. Mm-hmm. Go ball. Like, go enjoy your life. Stop listening to what some old windbag's got to say about it. I had to get one shot in there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I had to get one.
I mean, Jerry can't help himself, though. And this is the problem with what the Browns just did by giving him $41 million. And it's not my money to burn and throw away like they're going to do.
Cool if it was, though, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't burn it and throw it away the way they're going to do it. I'd probably burn it and throw it away, just not giving it to a guy like Jerry Jeudy. The problem with what he just got in that $41 million is now Jerry is sitting somewhere in Cleveland thinking that he's deserved that, thinking that he'd earned an extension as an NFL player when he absolutely earned nothing to be an NFL player. He's fortunate that he's a first-round pick and is getting another opportunity outside of how bad he was here in Denver. That $41 million didn't mean you did anything to get that, Jerry Jeudy. It means that the Browns are still incompetent and don't know how to run a franchise.
Maybe. I mean, it's not like he's never done anything. I mean, he's almost had a 1,000-yard season. I get it. You're burying the guy, and you're throwing the dirt. I mean, you buried him 20 feet under here. I'm just saying, I mean, okay, he's shown a little bit of talent. That's why they're giving him the contract. They're betting on his potential. Bad bet.
Thank you.
This is a good example of the immaturity that led to Jerry leaving Denver, right? Why are you concerned with what Mark Schlereth is saying about you on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, one of the part and parcel of being a professional athlete is being able to kind of let some of this stuff roll off your back. Now, I got no problem if you want to come out and, much like Prime yesterday, have something that did not sit right with you and at the appropriate time address it, which is what he did. You could not like his answer all you want, but he did it at the appropriate time.
I agree with you.
So with Jerry, this isn't, all due respect to Mark, Mark's opinion is nothing Jerry should be concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the reason why Jerry is who he is. He can't focus completely on football. Now, honestly, I have no ill will towards Jerry Jeudy leaving Denver. Obviously, he's a kid who's immature, mm-hmm. okay? Mark likes to get under people's skin, and if you're willing to engage with him, he's more than happy to. In fact, Mark never engages with people who are positive on social media. He literally lives to troll on social media. So Jerry fell into his trap. Yeah. Congratulations, Mark.
But also, I wanted to defend Mark a little bit of, like, if you're going to come at Mark with that nonsense, then be prepared to get his shot back right your way. It's a two-way street on Twitter.
Yeah, but it's tough. I mean, it's a grandpa trying to clap back on Twitter. That's never going to come off right. He's never going to really get it.
I disagree. I'm team clap back 100%
of the
time.
Yes. But I mean, it's, you know.
He's too old to clap.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. That's
what you're saying.
Maybe, I don't know. You know.
You heard it here, Mark. Matt thinks you're too old to be clapping back on Twitter.
No, but to clap back effectively, because Mark could have buried Jerry under that last tweet. He chose not to.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now I'll keep my eye on both their Twitter accounts.
A resume fight with the guy, and now it's whose is bigger, and it's just, let's just move on here.
Well, the answer is Mark's. All right, we are going to move on here. We're going to move on to a conversation with Mike Kliss, our Broncos insider from 9 News, who's with us every Thursday, joins us next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Thursdays at 1:15, we get to talk to Mike Kliss. He's our 9 News Broncos insider, thanks to our friends over at Fitness Gallery. And Mike is with us right now. Mike, how you doing today, man? Is the bracket already busted? How many of those things have you filled out?
I haven't seen what's happened so far today. What's happened?
Duquesne beat BYU, Mike.
Yeah, that's the big upset right now.
11-6.
What was it?
Oh, Duquesne beat BYU. It was an 11-6 upset.
Oh, well, I missed that one.
And then a 9 beat an 8. Michigan State beat Mississippi State.
Okay. Yeah, I went SEC there. Generally, I'm from Big Ten territory where I grew up in the Illinois area, and I generally go way too heavy on the Big Ten, and they let me down, generally speaking. So I went the other way this time, and that figures.
Right.
So, but I'm in about 3 or 4. I think I took Michigan State in one of them.
Good.
And Mississippi State in the others. But I can't wait to see how everything gets busted up. I've been in these brackets. It doesn't really matter until the key is you got to have 3 of the final 4.
Yep.
Right. That's when the points add up.
Yep.
And then you got to have at least one team in the championship to win it. So we'll see. I don't worry too much about the first round.
All right, Mike. Well, on to the Broncos. And I have a quarterback question for you, obviously, with them not finding
one
in free agency and still about the draft. How much, if any, is Ryan Tannehill discussed as an option post-draft if they're not able to find anybody? Or are all eyes set on the 2024 NFL draft?
Well, all eyes are on the 2024 draft. I think they are going to wind up with a veteran quarterback with some, with some starts. I would think Zach Wilson would make more sense than Ryan Tannehill at this point. I think at this point they're kind of leaning, it just seems to me like they're leaning toward Jarrett Stidham being number one. And, well, at least to the point of 50-50 Jarrett Stidham. They want the veteran to bring in to compete with Stidham for the starting job. So, like Sam Darnold, they weren't going to – Minnesota, was $10 million. The Broncos would have had to pay $12 million for Sam Darnold. They didn't want to pay Sam Darnold $12 million. And have Stidham get paid $6 million and call it a fair fight. Mm. So they weren't going to do that. So I think they are going to bring in someone with some experience. I'm not sure it's Tannehill. I mean, he's 36 years old. I don't know. Somebody was telling me he did a lot of fishing last year after he was benched. So, you wonder about where he's at in his career and where he is mindset, and how much fire is in his belly. But there's some young guys, I think, still out there that, I don't know. The Jets have to trade Zach Wilson, right? And they haven't yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're waiting for. Maybe that's more of a draft type thing. But they are going to wind up with another quarterback. You have to have 4 in the offseason, number one, because you got all those receivers with the 90-man roster. You got to have 4 quarterbacks to throw on the receiver drills. So there will be one more added here probably, by the time they report for conditioning, April 15th-ish, right in there. And then definitely the focus, though, is on that they're definitely in position now where they have to get a quarterback in that first round of the draft. And whether that's moving back a few spots, and picking up an extra pick, I don't know. That seems like that should be the way to go for the Broncos. But they got to get a quarterback in the first round.
All right, so let's talk about that a little bit more, Mike. Bo Nix seems to be the name, or at least Michael Penix would seem to be the two names that would be readily available without having to move up and at least significantly surrender some heavy assets here. Give me a percentage chance on them taking a quarterback in the first round. A ballpark.
I would say 60%.
Okay.
65.
Okay.
There's a lot of offensive tackles too. And, you know, ideally you trade back from 12 to 18 and you pick up a second round pick or even a later first round pick. And, you know, you wind up an offensive tackle and Bo Nix. I'm not sure about Michael Penix. You know, I'm hearing he's definitely second, maybe even third because of medical. You know, people are just afraid with those two ACLs in the shoulder injury he's had, even though you can make a case that he's better than J.J. McCarthy and better than Bo Nix. You can make that case. But the medical has people scared. So, yeah, I mean, J.J. McCarthy, everybody has him moving up now inside the top 10. That very well could be. But, you know, we'll see. I do think Bo Nix is next on that list. I'm not sure about the Broncos, what they feel about him. I know they're doing their due diligence on him. We'll see with Sean Payton. I mean, that's the key. It really comes down to Sean Payton's gut and his heart and what he sees on film. I think he's studying that all the time. And I also think that he's not really telling anybody until a couple days before the draft which quarterback he wants and how he's going to go about getting that quarterback.
Mike, I want to take you back to something that he said at the NFL Draft Combine, of course, Sean Payton. He made the comment that, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing here, and I'm sure you have more of a direct quote, but he made the comment that, you know, he likes the ability that they have. He thinks they're going to be pretty good at developing quarterbacks where maybe some of the other teams in the league aren't. What do you think he meant by that when he was trying to get that point across?
Yeah, he said evaluating. You know, we're pretty good at evaluating quarterbacks, and we're glad that other teams aren't.
And right.
I do think one thing that, you know, the key to that is when you're evaluating quarterbacks is you do have to have a quarterback in the right system, and you got to teach him right. I do think Sean Payton is pretty good at evaluating quarterbacks because he's pretty good at teaching quarterbacks. And I think it's at least 50-50. You know, there's been a lot of people knocked some of John Elway's draft picks who wound up playing better for other teams. You know, Isaiah McKenzie was, you know, a bust. And Khalif Raymond, undrafted guy, didn't last here. And those guys went on and had nice careers with other teams. You got to have the right system, the right roster, the right coaches to bring people along. And, you know, I dare say that Paxton Lynch had that one of the big things with Paxton Lynch being such a phenomenal bust for the Broncos was that Gary Kubiak got sick. Gary Kubiak was a big reason why they drafted Paxton Lynch, number 26. And the guy that was really invested in Paxton Lynch had medical issues, Paxton Lynch's rookie year, and wound up retiring as a head coach. And, you know, Paxton needed a special coach. Maybe Gary Kubiak was the only coach that could have brought him along. But when they lost Gary Kubiak, that kind of ended it for Paxton Lynch. And so, you know, Joe Montana, where would he have been? You hear this all the time. Where would he have been without Bill Walsh, you know, in the system there? He wound up being great, one of the best of all time. But you wonder, you know, had he been a more of a drop-back quarterback in that type of system. So it's not only the draft and evaluating, it's the developing. And I think Sean Payton is a good evaluator of quarterbacks because he's also a good teacher.
That's Mike Kliss. He is our Broncos insider from 9 News, and he's with us thanks to Fitness Gallery there on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline with us every Thursday. Mike, we appreciate you, man.
All right, guys, go get him.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Kliss, 9 News. Go follow him there. It's kind of new-ish Twitter account, but go follow him there. Get your latest Broncos info. He has identified a quarterback at a pretty high percentage in round number one. Let's have that conversation, how Matt and I feel about that. And then we should probably talk about Tannehill going fishing quite a bit since he's been benched. That's it. Quarterback conversation based off what we learned from Mike Kliss coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Let's unpack a couple things that we just learned from Mike Kliss there. You asked him about drafting a quarterback in round one. His words were you have to basically go and get a quarterback in round one. You asked him to put a number on it and said 60 to 65% taking that quarterback there in round one. That's big to me for him saying they're pretty much targeting a quarterback in round one, be it 12, be it a trade back, which he kind of hinted at, and it's something that you and I both like, Matt Smith and I, but a quarterback is coming in round one way or another. He says 60 to 65%. I might throw another 20% on those numbers and make it 80 to 85%.
You and I had this conversation the other day, and I took umbrage when you said it. You said, They have to draft Bo Nix at 12, and I said, why do they have to? Right? I mean, we've been talking about value at 12 overall. That is presumably the fifth quarterback off the board at that stage. I just feel like I need to bring this up again.
Okay?
Because whenever the idea of trading back in the first round to take a quarterback later in the first round gets brought up, it's extremely triggering to me.
He busted out his notebook here.
I had to bring out my notebook, okay? In the last 30 years, the only quarterbacks that teams have traded down within the first round for and drafted with that traded pick. EJ Manuel, 2013. The Bills traded from 8 to 16. Only quarterback taken in the first round. Okay, bad quarterback year.
Sure.
Okay, all right. Next one, 07. Kevin Cobb, Philly traded 26 to pick 36 and took Cobb in the second round. So that one only half counts.
Sure.
Okay. 2003, Rex Grossman from Florida. Chicago traded the Jets 4 for 13 and 22. They waited. They let Byron Leftwich and Kyle Bowler go off the board first, and then they took Rex Grossman. In 02, Patrick Ramsey. Washington traded New England 21 for 32. Washington moved to 32, took Patrick Ramsey.
Okay.
New England took Dan Graham at 21. Shout out to you.
What's up, Dan Graham?
1999, Cade McNown. Chicago traded 7 to 12 with Washington. Culpepper went at 11, and they took McNown at 12. And then, of course, Washington took Champ Bailey at 7. No big deal. And then in 95, Kerry Collins, Carolina had 1 overall. Well, they moved it to Cincinnati. Cincinnati took Kajana Carter, number 1 overall.
Oh, that's right.
And Steve McNair went, picked number 3, while at 5, they took Kerry Collins. Mm-hmm. It never works out trading down for a quarterback in the first round. So, look, the only reason that the list is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 names is because it never happens. If you want a quarterback, you move up for it. I think, to be honest with you, the outcome of this draft for the Broncos that I would be the most upset with, actually probably the only one that I'd be upset with at all, is if they were to trade down within the first round and use that first-round pick on a quarterback. That would bother me.
So go from 12 to 18 and use 18 to pick Bo Nix.
Let's say they go from 12 to 18, they pick up 18 overall and a third and maybe a fourth or something like that, okay? Well, if they use that first on a quarterback, first of all, the track record isn't there. You're telling me that you don't believe in the guy enough to take him at 12, but you all of a sudden believe in him enough to take him at 18 instead of taking another starter?
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to take a quarterback, it's either at 12 or they move up. And I go back to, if 4 quarterbacks go off the board in the top 10, you are seriously sacrificing value at another position if you take Bo Nix at 12. No matter what. That's just my opinion.
Okay. I will say the 6 names that you just gave, of course they're not great. They're not great names, but Rex Grossman played in a Super Bowl. I know he was pretty much dragged to said Super Bowl, but he was the quarterback on the Chicago Bears when they started in a Super Bowl.
Fair.
To where we sit right now as Denver Bronco fans and sitting in Broncos country, that's a world of suck for 8 years. I would love for the Broncos quarterback to be drugged to a Super Bowl.
What do you have to have then, Josh?
A great roster.
Yeah, what do the Broncos?
They have a bad roster.
I mean, come on. We're going to play Ring Around the Rosie here. Duck, duck, goose. It's time to start taking some foundational pieces in the first round. Look, if that's a quarterback, fine. okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would I do it? Probably not, but fine. I just struggle because, well, you're picking up a third and a fourth to move down and still wasting your first on a quarterback later in the draft that you didn't really believe in, but you believed in him enough to take a flyer. It's a bad strategy. It's a bad strategy. You know what? Pull it up. Desperado. Okay, pull it up. So, again, you are really starved for a quarterback and you're desperate here. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the right play right now.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
I mean, you could still take a quarterback in the second, third, yeah.
You could still probably get Bo Nix in the second.
You might be able to. Mm-hmm. You might be able to. And as Cliff said there, Penix is probably a second rounder.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to talk some more about him tomorrow, but I think I've seen three mocks this week that has the Raiders selecting Michael Penix Jr. either at 13 or in the second round.
So Cliff also just said that, and I have nothing against what Cliff was saying. I thought he brought up some really good points. Look, if you can make the argument that Penix is better than Nix and McCarthy, his words, Mike's words, mm-hmm. okay, then you can make the argument that taking him in the second round is smarter than Bo Nix at 12, because that's a lottery ticket. You've got to rebuild, and I know Sean doesn't want to wait. So while you're waiting, you better get some good younger talent mm-hmm. that can contribute on the field. Does Sean Payton seem like the guy to you that waits around for a guy?
Not the Sean Payton of the past, but I think this new Sean Payton is looking at this as this might be his last hurrah, and he has no option but to play the long game.
Right. Do you want to play the long game with somebody that you don't wholeheartedly believe in enough to take at that position, at that draft pick?
I get what you're saying, but also
I struggle with it.
It's not like he's lining up five quarterbacks and picking Bo Nix. It's the only one available to him.
Exactly. Desperate. You're right. You're exactly right, which is why I think Sean Payton's character and his past draft history tells us that if he loves somebody, he's going to move up. He's got to really love McCarthy if that's where he wants to go to move up this year, because you're giving up next year's first.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Broncos fans, what would you do? Would you move back or would you just, you know, take the swing at 12 and bring Bo Nix back to Denver with you with that pick right there? Let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Let's take our final timeout, come back, wrap this thing up. We're going to get you set for CSU Texas, give you an update as to what's going on with our brackets and your brackets, look ahead at the Knicks game as well. Plus, I know there was a couple things we wanted to continue to chat about with what Shohei Ohtani has found himself in with $4.5 million in gambling debt floating around.
Can I make a little tease?
Please.
Here? The Rockies have made a trade.
What? We'll find out who it was next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. No sympathy, girl. You should know I ain't drinking all alone. Because I've been throwing parties. I've been acting like a neighborhood rock star. Tire tracks in the grass.
Put a big bow on it for Zach By and Philip Lindsay. They're down at Stoney's this afternoon. Go hang out with the fellas. It's the first Thursday of March Madness. You're not really doing any work anyway, so go kick it with the guys. Stoney's is always a great place, an awesome place to watch sports with about a million TVs. Obviously, some drinks and snacks for you to enjoy. So get down there. Say hi. Phil will sign autographs. Zach will, like, watch Phil sign autographs and just kind of watch you standing around. So go kick it with the fellas. Phil's a great person. Zach's a great guy. Go say hello.
You ready for who the Rockies acquired?
Because
this is earth-shattering news.
The Rockies have made a trade. Here to announce it, Matt Smith.
The Rockies have acquired.
Oh, here we go.
Utility player, outfielder, / shortstop, because you can never have too many of those. We all know our Daniel Descalzos. Greg Jones. From the Rays, for lefty pitcher Joe Rock.
Oh, Joe Rock. It's been real, Joe.
I'll have to get my Greg Jones Rays jersey, you know, maybe sell it. You think I'd get some value for that?
You probably can, yeah. You know what you can probably do is sell that Greg Jones Rays jersey for $4 and then buy a Greg Jones Rockies jersey for $3, and you, my friend, have come up a buck.
Hey, man, at least this kid hit .244 in the minors last year. Yeah.
How many baseball games do you go to?
Hold on. His on-base percentage, 318.
Okay.
So at least he maybe take a walk every now and again.
Good eye, kid. You got that good eye, kid.
Attaboy, kid. Attaboy.
How many baseball games do you go to a year that you pay for out of your own wallet?
Around here?
Yeah.
Zero.
Really?
Yeah. Or
you love baseball.
Yeah, I'm not going to the Rockies games. If I like baseball, I'll go enjoy it, and I'll watch a good game on television. I'm not going down to that ballpark.
Okay.
Supporting that franchise.
I'll be down there quite a bit.
Enjoy it.
Me and Kev.
Enjoy that party deck.
Ripping that party deck apart.
I mean, I'm not paying, but
I got you.
Okay, okay. I'll buy your drinks or dinner somewhere else. I ain't giving them a dollar.
This might be one of the gems that 30-year-old son of Dick Monfort, who's now their head pro scout, found. The kid who hit 173 in double A ball last year.
I have become friends with someone that was in the analytic department of the Rockies.
That doesn't exist. That's a couple of guys with some old Texas Instruments calculator down the basement of Coors Field.
And some of the stuff I've learned
their
about
their
analytics
department.
Yeah.
For the love.
It was and she was a part of the, Matt, again, analytics department that was doing laundry during the pandemic. So you're exactly right about your laugh and giggle about their analytics department. All right, let's talk.
Send Jerry Rosberg over to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Jerry Rosberg needs to be hired by the Rockies as a consultant. Clean that ship up.
Before we preview what's happening tonight, I got to ask you this question. We didn't get to this yet today. But the talk up in Boulder where Matt Smith was yesterday for media day about Shador. And Deion said, he's the second quarterback off the board this year, if he's there. He wasn't disrespecting Caleb, saying Caleb would have been first, but Shador's ahead of Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and MPJ, the whole crew. So I heard that, and I thought, man, I wonder what kind of year Shador would have to be the first quarterback selected in 2025, which is also the conversation happening around the young man. And so I went back and I looked at Caleb's numbers, I looked at Drake May's numbers, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix Jr. numbers. I'm going to read them off to you, and then afterwards, let's decide whether or not Shador can have this kind of season. 3,600 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions for Caleb. 3,600 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions for Drake May. 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions for Jaden Daniels. Just under 3,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions for J.J. McCarthy. Bo Nix, your boy, Matt. 4,500 yards, 45 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. And Michael Penix Jr. had 4,900 yards, 36 and 11. So the kind of the bottom of this is J.J. McCarthy's yards at 2,991. And then touchdowns would be Drake May at 24. Is that enough? Let's call it that. 3,000 yards, 24, 25 touchdowns, and under 10 interceptions. First question, can Shador do that?
He already did it.
Okay.
Yeah, last year he had 3,200 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 3 picks.
Just 3 picks.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's just say he does that stat line again.
And that was missing a game and a half. He didn't play in Utah, and he was basically probably like 1 2/3 games. He got sacked 4 times the first 10 snaps up in Pullman at Washington.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, he basically already did that with the worst offensive line in the country, okay? Feel however you want to feel about CU. Feel however you want to feel about Prime. I'm just here to talk to you about the quarterback prospect.
Okay.
Okay? Like, think of him as Shador Johnson, okay? If you have that bias, try and remove that bias. I understand people think it's, you know, they call it the dad ball and all that stuff. These guys recognize they cannot operate the way they operated last year and expect to have real success. They have to protect him at a much more significant level, and they have to be able to run the ball much more effectively. They were the worst rushing team in the country last year. And still, Shador had 27-3 touchdown interception ratio. He broke the single season passing record for CU, both in game and for one season. And he missed a game and a half. Like, if you give this kid the protection that they've given him, if you upgrade the skill positions to the degree that they have, there is no reason why 4,000 yards, 40 TDs, that shouldn't be in the question. And think about this. You got smoked at Oregon. He barely, I mean, he had almost no stats in that game, okay? You got smoked at Wazoo, barely played, didn't play Utah. I mean, do I think that he could get up to close to 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and under 10 picks? I expect that, flat out. And do I think he would have been QB2 off the board this year? I think he would have flown up the draft boards.
With those numbers, the numbers you just rattled off.
3,200 yards, 27 TDs, and 3 interceptions.
Mm-hmm. That's better than, the only thing not better is a few hundred yards for Drake May, and he missed the time that you mentioned he missed.
I'm just saying. Like, I get where you're rooting against CU, you're rooting against Prime, you don't like the boisterousness, and then you back it up with four wins. I get that if you're not a supporter of the entire equation. I'm just here to tell you, as a prospect, even he talked about it yesterday, Shadur did. He talked about how this season his biggest goal is not taking as many sacks, okay? And I've asked him flat out, how many of those were on you and how many of those were on the offensive line, wide receiver? He goes, look, it's basically a case-by-case thing. But, yeah, I mean, I've got to get better with it. And he acknowledged that himself.
I like that.
He's really driven. I mean, he's got some of the best quarterback coaching you can find. If he speeds up his process, and Cecil just came back from the combine. He said that the scouts there are in love with the kid.
Really?
Oh, they are in love with the kid. So I totally believe Deion, to be honest with you. I would rather right now have Shadur over Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I would. Just me.
Okay.
I'm just explaining to you. Just me.
Yeah.
Wait till you see what happens with more talent.
I don't know about Jaden Daniels right now, but I understand why you could come to that conclusion.
I think he's going to be a better pro than he is a college quarterback because he plays an NFL game. Mm-hmm. He wants to stay in the pocket. He'll use his legs when he needs to, but he wants to make timing throws, anticipatory throws. That's why he is literally, if he were on the board, the Broncos would be moving up for him.
And I also imagine that this year's offense is going to have more pro-style system, more of a feel for a pro-style system.
Interesting question because Shermer didn't really let down his guard on that too much. I asked him what the differences in the scheme were going to be between last year and this year. He said, look, clearly it starts with protecting the quarterback and running the football. Yeah. If they can become somewhat of a balanced offense this year, they're going to be really hard to stop. They've got some really good running backs. It's just about offensive line play.
Yep.
You watched them. Okay, they went 4-8. What held them back, Josh?
Their offensive line.
Okay. They have improved it drastically. Now, it's got to work, and I'm not going to crown them until they hit the field. But understand that things are set up there for them to have a very big year, okay, offensively. Yes.
And then the other thing we didn't unpack quite yet of Kliss with the Tannehill, he said Zach Wilson over Ryan Tannehill. And I thought that was very interesting as well. Of, it's a younger guy, maybe not, like I'm trying to think of what Sean's reasoning would be. All right, younger guy, maybe not so set in his ways, bad or good, and I can come in here and mold him a little bit quicker than I could a veteran like a Ryan Tannehill, who apparently loves fishing more than he does being a backup quarterback.
That was an interesting comment that Kliss made, talking about how when Tannehill got benched, he basically disengaged.
Just with fishing.
Which is what he said.
Yeah.
I've never been a Tannehill guy. I don't think that he's a good fit here.
Me neither.
I think if you're going to move a seventh-round pick for Zach Wilson, that makes much more sense. I'm not high on either one of the guys, and I don't think Zach could be here very long, but I think you'd even get Broncos country to tell you they'd rather have Zach Wilson than Ryan Tannehill. I'd be pretty surprised out there.
Yeah.
I mean, do I think that Zach will ever be anything? No. But that's at least a younger guy with upside that costs you basically nothing.
Yeah. I know for sure that Ryan Tannehill will never be anything. I have about 90% doubt that Zach Wilson will be, but that's still 10% of the unknown.
See, mine's higher. It's like 95%. I personally wouldn't make either of them, but you probably need another guy in here.
Because so, Mike made a good point. Like, you just need another arm come camp.
I think the question would become, what is Zach Wilson's temperament? Because you're probably not keeping three quarterbacks. So if Mike is also telling us that they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, now they're going to trade back. Now, well, all of a sudden you got five quarterbacks. Now we assume DiNucci's a camp arm.
Yeah.
But you got four really mediocre guys. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you see Stidham changed his jersey number?
No.
Yeah, he's now wearing number 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know what he was before.
Hold on, don't.
Oh, sorry.
Damn.
Sorry.
Damn. I was gonna say, let's see how long it could take us to get that one. Yeah, no, he changed his jersey number to 8.
Okay.
What was the last Broncos quarterback player to wear number 8? Orton?
I think it was Orton. Old neckbeard.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Had to be. Okay. You're talking about basically punting the year unless you draft a quarterback in the first round. And if your plan is based on hope and desperation for that position,
it is.
It's a bad plan. And they'll do it. If they take Bo at 12, I'll root for him. I'll get behind him. But I think it's a bad plan. And yes, I already. Oh, McManus.
McManus wore 8 is what Kevin just told me in my ear in KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
You can have that one.
McManus, Kevin knows it because it's his BFF.
Oh, I thought something different. I'm not going to take that shot at Kiz. Kiz has been good today. I was going to say, I mean, the strategy of hope and desperation.
Hey, you know what?
I told you I wasn't going to take that shot. That's what I would have said.
Yeah. And then you decided to go ahead and take the shot.
We have a clear line of sight.
We have a Kevin Kistner dating game coming up here in a month or so. We're gonna get Kev. We're gonna find love for Mr. Kistner.
Yes, I know it's coming in 2024. Yeah, we already talked about it. It's the year of Kistner.
Gotta happen.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. Let's tell the folks what we like tonight. CSU Texas 450 at TNT. The guys will be at Stoney's if you want to go watch it with the fellas. Watch the Rams take down the Longhorns. Texas favorite, but only by 2.5, as you mentioned. What kind of game are we expecting from Isaiah Stevens? And can we rely upon Nick Clifford and Joel Scott to play the way they did on Tuesday? How you feeling?
Isaiah was nursing the ankle a little bit that he tweaked in the Mountain West Conference tournament. I thought he wasn't really aggressive in the second half after the game had gotten out of reach. I think he was kind of resting a little bit. I expect a much more spirited effort today from Isaiah Stevens. They're going to need it for sure against Texas. Look, this is not a great Texas team for Rodney Terry. They got a couple of really solid college basketball players, a couple of guys with tournament experience. I picked against CSU going up against Virginia, and I felt like a genius the first 12 minutes of the game. I said Virginia's going to make you take every shot in the last 5 seconds of the shot clock. They're going to spread you out. It's going to be like a day at the dentist. And it was up until like 14-12, like what, 5 minutes left in the first half? And then CSU just ran them over because obviously Virginia couldn't make a shot. So for all CSU fans, I'm picking Texas today to stay with the trend of fading CSU.
There you go.
Okay? But I'll be rooting for the Rams.
So you're doing it so they win.
Yep.
That's how it feels. Okay, yep. I like
just
that.
Just for you, CSU fan.
He cares about you guys so much. I like CSU's chances today. I don't think it's going to be easy by any means. I don't think they're going to roll in moments of the game the way they were able to in some of the play-in games. But I think they're a good team. I think they're better coached. And I actually do believe that Isaiah Stevens is going to come out and have a game that he didn't have in that first four. So I am going to roll with the Rammies tonight. That is who I like. How about the Nuggets on the other side of this? They got the Knicks, who are coming to Ball Arena banged up without two of their top three best players. Michael Porter Jr. has been a stud. I'm feeling the Nuggets rolling tonight, making it a three-quarter game, getting some of those bench guys in and letting the starters rest in that fourth and final. But I still like a Joker triple-double.
See, I'm going with MPJ.
Okay.
I'm staying with the hot hand. I'm staying with, not the Joker hasn't been.
Yeah, hot. What do you mean? He's not hot?
But I'm going to stay with the hot hand tonight. 2.5 threes, MPJ, maybe 6.5 rebounds. He's rebounding the ball more consistently post-All-Star break. I think that's a guy you look to tonight to come through. I'd be curious to know what Jamal's assist line was, too.
Yeah.
I would be curious. I know you know your heavy Joker triple-double there. I got the Nuggets. I mean,
They should take care of all the business.
Is there a game the Nuggets would play where you would pick against them?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably not. Like in Boston, maybe? At the Celtics?
They beat them there.
Yeah. But they're only one of three teams.
So maybe so that's like one example. At the Celtics, like fifth game of a road trip.
Yeah.
Right.
Outside of that, it's probably not.
No. That's how confident I am in them right now. But Jokic, I mean, do people realize he's as banged up as he really is?
No, they do not.
Okay. I hope we never have to really come to that realization in the next couple of months. I can't lie to you like it's not in the back of my mind. I mean, he's pretty banged up.
He's just... He would never, not that unless it's significant.
Right.
Like he is going to play through pretty much everything there is. Yeah, good call. Knock on some wood there.
Yeah.
But I feel good about it. It's honestly, man, what a beautiful time. Both the Buffs and Rams rolling. The Nuggets and the Avalanche are the best teams in their respective leagues over the last 2 weeks. 17 days, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
You seem like you want to give me some pushback.
No. Not at all. Okay. Nuggets are definitely the best team in the league. No pushback there.
All right. Well, that's it. We're done for the day. We will get home, watch a ton of games, come back here tomorrow, react to it all. I'm going to be down at Nuggets, watching games on my phone, hanging out with the crew. So we are going to hand off to the drive. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay live from Stoney's. Boys, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are fired up.
It's tournament day, Zach. How could we not be doing well?
Well, you know, we're here at 11th and Lincoln at Stoney's, boys, and I can already tell you the vibes are high. The TVs all have basketball. The drinks are flowing. It's like a gorgeous day in Denver, Colorado that unto itself was kind of handcrafted for some day drinking, but the fact that
college days,
but the fact that it's
college days, that's
the start of the tournament.
Wednesday for me, Phil.
And it's just so cool. Hey, before you guys cut the cord here, I'm curious of what you thought of CU. I know you've talked about it, but what was your biggest takeaway from the CU Buffs last night getting it done?
Tristan Da Silva finally came to play. You know, he's had a really good back half, like back stretch. That 6-game win streak they had the regular season, a lot of that was because he picked up his level of play. But compared to the Pac-12 tournament title, Zach, where it was really just KJ Simpson waiting for help, last night Tristan was the one who drove it home. And while it wasn't the best performance from Colorado, that's a team that at times this year, boys, I thought was soft. And last night, I thought they were the tougher team down the stretch. And they ended on a 17-6 run.
Right.
Huge win for that program. And KJ Simpson, despite shooting 6 of 18, he did finish with 19 points. But 11 rebounds, big defensive rebounds down the stretch. Their defense won them the game. And look, it doesn't have to be pretty. They just have to be wins in March.
Yeah, and we talked about Lampkin, too. That tip-in that Lampkin had, huge. Stopping some of that momentum time, from the Broncos, time. That was so big. And Matt and I talked about them running the offense through him as of late. And, like, if I'm Tad, and we talked about this of, hey, big fella, you don't got to put the ball on the floor as much because it's going to lead to some of those turnovers and fighting for possession. Just use that pivot foot, use that big body of yours to create some of that separation. But what Lampkin was able to do underneath the basket, I thought was big time for the Buffaloes.
I agree. And I think his putback made it a two-possession game.
Yeah,
I
want
to
say,
okay, so it went from like 3-5 or 2-4 or whatever it was. But that was huge. And perceptually, big for Tad Boyle.
Huge.
You know what I mean? It's just from the shortcomings have been well documented, and that would have been embarrassing, you know, if they had lost in the first four to Boise State, kind of like a nameless, faceless group to the rest of the country. So I thought that was big for him personally. And, man, Matt, you specifically, before we let you go here, Tristan Da Silva, how is he thought of among CU circles?
A little underwhelming, right? I mean, we all know he's a good player, but even some texters today made the MPJ comparison where you're just frustrated with his consistency at times.
Yeah.
You know, his older brother was the better player, I think, Zach, and he filled out, certainly Oscar did, by the time he got to be a senior at Stanford. Tristan, we kind of waited for that senior year where we expected him to be in the conversation of Pac-12 Player of the Year, and it was just too up and down. I feel like mentally, you know, he struggles with the awareness of when to take over. But last night you just saw the aggressive version of him for 40 minutes, I thought. And they're going to need that to beat Florida, who's without their best player, but they got a good pair of guards. As I wanted to say something, 25th win for CU. That is a school record for most wins in a season. So to your point, Zach, massive win for Tad.
Yeah, and that was on Tad's radar. We talked to him about that earlier in the week, and he was hyper aware that they had an opportunity to set the single season record mark for 25 wins. It's huge, man. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. All right, before you guys go, give me your prediction for later this afternoon with CSU.
I like the Rams tonight. I think they're going to keep it going. I think Nick Clifford and Joel Scott can have the games that they had the other night. And then you add Isaiah Stevens doing what he normally does to that mix. I think they can handle some business. It's going to be tight, and it's going to be a fight at the end of it, but I like the Rams to get it done today.
This is a tough one. I picked Virginia against CSU in the first four, and clearly I was wrong. I was not for like the first 10 minutes of the game, and then Virginia just absolutely fell apart with maybe the most pathetic performance in NCAA tournament history that I personally have ever laid eyes on. Not to take anything away from CSU. This is the worst version of Texas we've seen in a while, Zach, I think. But they do have a couple of guys with tournament experience. The line being 2.5 raises an eyebrow for me. Uh-huh. I'll probably pick against CSU just for Rams fans so I don't jinx them. So I'm going to pick Texas and root for CSU.
He's doing them a favor by picking against them.
Oh, Matt.
But I'm rooting for CSU.
All right, boys, we appreciate the couple minutes of overtime. We'll cut you loose. Have a great day and enjoy the games here.
Thanks, right, fellas. Have fun at Stoney's.
All right, Stoney says popping off, Mr. Philip Lindsay.
All right.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm
fine,
doing,
parking?
I did find parking. I found parking a block or two away. There's, you know, spots available. I'm not into the parking lot. I'd just rather pay and park on the street.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, it's the start of the NCAA tournament today. And
Look at that big smile on your face.
It's one of my favorite days of the year. It really is. And, you know, I told you yesterday, like, if I worked, like, just like a normal job, yeah, I'd be taking today and tomorrow off, like so much of, you know, Americans do. I mean, we love these 2 days, and your Buffs, your Colorado Buffaloes.
It's the theme music.
And Tad Boyle, give me my theme music. Hey, I thought, man, they looked to me with about 5 or 6 minutes left like they looked in the middle of the season. I said, do they just have enough in the tank to finish this thing? And, man, it was an appropriate timeout call from Tad Boyle. They talked things over. Some huge buckets coming out down the stretch. And your Buffaloes are still dancing.
No, you know, I was ecstatic when it happened. I was in the game. You know, I got nervous a couple times because we started to kind of simmer down a little bit, started missing some shots. But we were aggressive. We were aggressive, and Matt Smith was right. You know, when you watch some of those Colorado games at the beginning of the season, they just weren't physical. This game, they kind of they got dialed in. Yeah. Dialed in on what they wanted done. You know, and KJ Simpson, you know, he missed a couple big shots, but he also made a couple big shots on top of rebounding.
Yes.
That was big right there. And you talked about that a lot, Zach, about how important rebounding is, right? With the Denver Nuggets not doing it at one point. For the Colorado Buffaloes, that's how they're going to win, and that's how they're going to beat Florida this next game coming up Friday.
Yes.
Because the Florida Gators are missing their big man.
Yes, and it's going to be paramount, and we'll obviously be previewing that game all day tomorrow, or big chunks of the day anyway. It was a gutsy win that I thought the program needed, Tad Boyle needed, and was happy for those guys. And it wasn't. And you want to know what, like. You know, said to you yesterday on the air, I said, maybe not like Colorado State and Virginia, but I said, expect a slow pace, rock fight, low scoring game. And that's exactly what it was. And you want to know what? This goes back to like to the old school identity of Tad Boyle. Defense, rebounding, get stops. I mean, the game is on the line, and your Buffs got 5 stops in a row. I mean, that was just massive. Just massive on a night where they struggled offensively.
Well, what about Cody Williams? That, you know, at one point they benched him.
Yep.
You know, and when he was in the game, okay, it wasn't that team flow, that team basketball where everybody's getting the ball, everybody's moving it around, defense, everybody is on the same page. When Cody was in there, it was, like I said before, a one-man kind of game where he would kind of back somebody in and then try to take that jump shot.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't working out, and Tad was not going for it this game.
Yeah, and when your season's on the line, you don't have time to placate to personalities.
Yeah.
You do not have time to acquiesce to a freshman. I don't care where he's going to get drafted. And by the way, this idea that he could go number one, just throw that in the garbage. Just
okay.
I mean, I
was wondering.
I'm starting to question, like, is this kid a top 10 pick? And last night, he looked like a JV player who was asked to play in a varsity game. He looked lost. He looked like a boy out there. And that was a field of men that are older, that were fighting for their life. It was not offensively pleasing.
He's not ready. That's what it tells me. Okay, when you're looking at a young kid that has a lot of talent, right, a lot of length.
Yeah.
It's like you're not ready for the big league yet. And it's okay, you're 19 years old.
Yes, exactly.
But a lot of it does have to come on what his brother has done, right, the name.
Yeah.
I think that's why people are getting so hyped about it. And maybe we're just missing something. I mean, look at Peyton Watson. At some point, right, we're like, why are they drafting this young man so, you know, so high in the draft?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, but it's turning out to be one of the best draft picks that they have had.
Yep.
I don't know if I see that in Cody Williams, though.
Yeah, you want to know what? It's interesting. I just don't think if no one ever told me that Cody Williams was going to be a lottery pick, I wouldn't come up with that conclusion on my own.
Yeah.
That's how I'll say it. And that being said, he's a kid. He's got a long way to go, and that was a court full of men last night. We'll circle back to that a little bit later in the show today, but we have a new war of words. Jerry Jeudy taking aim at yet another Denver Broncos legend. We had Rod Smith, we had Shannon Sharp, we had you, and now we have Mark Schlereth. Hang tight. That's next.